This is a replay of the Wednesday night, February 4th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings on NLS Sports. Preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together, and as usual, it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, as well as a lot of your requests. We won't get them all tonight, I don't think, because we've only got about 11 of them, but if we don't, we'll get them tomorrow night. So I appreciate the suggestions, some of which I actually really like, and others of which I tolerate. And of course, when I don't like them at all, I don't play them. All right, so here's what we have. 9 common items you never knew had expiration dates. You know, it's one of the things, we always know that if it's in our refrigerator, it probably has an expiration date somewhere on it. Frightening to me now in the last several years, I don't know what they've done to homogenization, but milk lasts entirely too long as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to be at the store and see that I can buy this milk and it'll be good for 3 whole months. Yeah, that is not good news as far as I'm concerned. But there's some things we just don't think about it, and a couple of them surprise me. Helmets? Yes, according to the experts, helmets should be replaced every 3 to 5 years. Exposure to natural elements, general wear and tear, causes the helmets to lose their ability to protect against brain injury, so you have to replace them every 5 years, even if you have never been involved in a crash or an accident. Yeah. Car seats? Never thought about that either, but apparently the safety mechanisms lose their effectiveness after 6 years. Well, the exact number depends upon the manufacturer and the unit in question, but under the seat, along the plastic frame, you'll see an expiration date if you're looking for that. Disinfectants, you might think that, yeah, they would have an expiration date, but maybe sooner than you think. For instance, dish soap or hand sanitizer or, you know, bleach even, 1 year from the date the product is manufactured. And they say replace the bottles annually, just in case. Fire extinguishers, that I did know. Absolutely. Fire extinguishers should be replaced every 12 years or so. Though, you know, sometimes you can tell rust, corrosion, damage, all that means replace it sooner. But for the most part, rechargeable fire extinguishers should be brought to service providers every 6 years for inspection and maintenance. Here's another one, motor oil. Never thought about it either way. Now, the real key here, as far as I can tell, is whether it's been open or not. If it has been opened, oh man, it's probably quickly time to purchase another one. But if it hasn't been opened, 5 years for standard motor oil, synthetic brands, about 8 years. But open, yeah, we're talking months. Perfumes, and yeah, that's kind of an obvious one. The good news is when they just lose strength. The bad news is when when the aroma changes. And in some cases, 1 year is about all you get for perfumes. But here's another one. I think we all realize that occasionally we've got to replace those pillows. Even if you have a pillow protector on it, after a while, right? Well, according to the experts, every 1 to 2 years, your pillow should be replaced. See, now that's fighting words to me, because when I find a pillow that I really like, I don't want to part with it as far as that goes. And you know, you go to the store and you think you're getting the same one, but you're not. And everybody's got their own preference in terms of whether it be fluffy or whether it be flat or all the other things too. But apparently, it's not only how they look. And if you don't use protectors on it, you know how they look. That's right. You drool. You don't realize it, but you do at night. In addition to the unsightliness, bacterial growth. I did not realize that. So they're saying swapping out pillows regularly helps alleviate allergy symptoms. All right. So, yeah, lately John has had insomnia, something terrible. And, like every night. And it might be part of post-stroke complex and all that, but you never know. And so we're literally trying everything. And I didn't think about, well, let's change the pillows too. But hey, maybe. Right now I'm changing the sheets. I'm trying bamboo. Have you tried bamboo? Let me know. All right. Power strips? Now, come on. Power strips? Yes, apparently so. Where was it that I saw that? And as far as I was concerned, they say they last 4 years before losing their efficacy. Now, wait a minute. All right. Well, I guess if you've got a surge protector in that power strip, maybe. But if you don't, yeah, I think you're probably safe. Now, smoke alarms. We all know we're supposed to change the batteries. But did you know you're actually supposed to replace the smoke alarm itself every 10 years? The back of the alarm actually has the date of manufacturer, count forward a decade, and change that puppy. All right, so those are some things that maybe you didn't know. 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, I realized last night I had teased that we were going to talk about, why when we write letters do we always start with dear? What does this, obviously we know it dates back to something. Well, it does. Yeah, it dates back to a word you've never heard of, and it's a word for deer from the 8th century Old English, and it's deore, D-E-O-A-R-E, and it meant something precious or something costly and then something special. And so the bottom line is around the 14th century, deer became a salutation for letters, mostly intimate letters, dearest sister, to my dear friend, and all that. Dearly beloved, of course. That, by the way, comes from 1662, a Bible translation called the Book of Common Prayer. But around the 17th century, dear became the standard opening for polite communication, a way to show respect. So, yeah, that's where it was no longer personal. Dear sir or madam. Yeah. And eventually we moved on from regular letter writing as the primary mode of communication, to say the least. And, writing more memos than love letters. And once email became standard, for the most part, dear goes by the wayside. But no, they say the formality of the written structure should remain. Yeah, so I leave it to Washington Post Miss Manners, who say, yeah, don't let go of dear, no matter how formal or not, or what the format is. And career experts recommend using dear as a salutation in email correspondence. No, have you ever done that? Never done that. Yes. Dear sir or madam is extinct, though, they say. All right, so there you have dear. Oh, good. Well, last night we were talking about Jim from Richmond, and I know that Wednesday is the day that he sees the retinologist, usually. And Tubby asked last night, so Jim in Richmond, firstly, how you feeling?
I'm feeling fine.
Good.
And thank you for taking my call. And I've been listening for the last 2 weeks, but yeah. I just haven't called. And I had a million questions and a million things that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
But number one is I did go to both eye doctors today.
Uh-huh.
And the retina guy, he's going to be at the White Sox training camp next week.
Okay.
So they were in a hurry to get in and out.
Yeah.
And I was able to. And I asked you about this a couple weeks ago. I got a letter from Good Days.
Yes.
And that's the organization that helps pay. And I called in and I re-registered, so I have it for a whole year. And I found out I've been with them since 23.
Okay.
So now when I told the doctor that, he was all happy because of, worrying about the billing. Because like I said, that Eylea HD, that's if I had to pay it $750 each time I get a shot, and that's what I got. That's what I got today. Was EYLEA HD.
Okay, all right, well, good.
My eyesight has not been good, and I remember I told you I gave the glaucoma guy the DVD of my MRI on my brain.
Yes.
Yes. So we had him today, this afternoon, and I asked him, did you watch it? And he goes, yeah, I did. And I said, did you find anything out? You know, because I thought maybe there was yeah, like, something. I don't want to say the word, but maybe there was a tumor behind my eyes and that's what's causing the problem.
No,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But he goes, I didn't see anything. Everything, you know, there was nothing that would be causing it. But I said, well, what about my optic nerves, because I have no vision in my right eye.
Right.
And he said, yep, that showed narrowing of the nerves,
okay,
which caused you to lose your eyesight.
Okay.
So I said, what about, can't they do, now that you have proof of this, can't they do anything like injections or anything?
No.
And he goes, nothing at this time.
Right. No, absolutely. I wish it was the case where knowing it would have changed the picture. But
right,
at least you know it's nothing else, and at least you know there's no tumors involved. But, yeah, I wish it was a thing where they'd say, well, we've identified it, but it doesn't matter at this point.
And then it turned out the pressure in the eye was 40.
Whoa, today. That's high.
And it was my drizolamide with Timodol that I've been taking.
Yeah.
I ran out of it on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And the pharmacy won't fill it till the 24th.
Oh, don't you hate
so
that.
And he usually has samples that he could give me.
Yeah.
And so he gave me these drops and just in case I ran out of that. And it was Repressa. And the first doctor looked at the eye and he goes, do you know your eye is all red? And I go, I can't see it. How
right,
would I
right,
know?
Right, exactly. You
know? Right.
Yeah.
So then it turned out that the Repressa opens up the blood vessels in your eye and that will cause it to be red.
Oh.
So when we couldn't fill the drizolamide and with Timodol, whatever the name is,
right,
he called up the pharmacy and he ordered, because they won't fill it to the 24th, he ordered just drizolamide, and then he ordered just a Timodol.
Okay.
So two prescriptions, and then we were going to go get him on the way home, but the Timodol or whatever that name is, they won't get that till tomorrow, so
okay,
I didn't get that. So he said he wanted me back in 2 weeks because going back on that, see if it would get the pressures down. But then he goes, oh, I'm not here in 2 weeks.
Oh, great.
So I go back both doctors again on March 11th.
Uh-huh.
So that works out. And so that was that.
Okay.
I got the package. I think I mentioned this to you before. I got the package from Hadley.
Yeah.
Yes. Hadley Helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Been able to find that app that I had that Apple took off, that you just pointed at it and it reads it.
Right.
And I have not been able to find out what the name of it was, so, and to get it back on my phone. So I'm going to have to go to U.S. Cellular and see if they could find it.
Can you maybe call Hadley? Maybe someone there, if you talk to them, will be aware of it.
Yeah, I have the phone number.
Yeah,
for them.
I would try that first, because when you're talking about
right,
things that are accessibility, very often the guy at the corner store or whatever is 100% clueless.
Right, and so I'm going to take care of that, and And remember, you know, my friend Char tells me that I'm looking for trouble and everything. But I told you about that problem with the anesthesiologist.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
double billing. I'm saying
yeah,
double billing me and
right,
stuff.
Right,
well,
right.
I finally had it all cleared.
Right.
So then last month, I got the bill for the ambulance from the city of Whitewater.
Okay.
And It said, I only have to pay $39.
Okay, good.
So three days ago, I get a letter from them to say, and they're saying that I owe $16.67. And me trying to read everything with my magnifier on my phone. So then I called them up and said, well, what's going on? Well, it shows here it's not paid. And I says, I have it, the bill from the last time, and it said that it was paid, and I only owed $39, and
right.
I paid that.
Right.
So then she goes, well, there must be a miscommunication with another department. And it turns out this is a billing office that handles all these different...
From everywhere in the world. Place. Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
Well, we'll look into it, and we might not get an answer until June or July.
Okay.
Whether it was paid.
All right, well, whatever. Going, you're not going to pay it again. Too bad. See you later. Bye.
Right. But when I paid the $39, I demanded that they send me a notification, like a receipt that
yes.
it was paid.
Yes.
And I didn't get that. I got this instead. And so now I said, when it's all done, you need to send me something so I have it on record that it was paid.
Right.
We'll look into that. So then I got my bill from Humana, my summary, and I'm laughing. It came usually 3 pages, 4 pages for a month's service.
Mm-hmm.
It was 36 pages because it covered my stroke.
Uh-huh.
And the hospital bills,
uh-huh.
and then the follow-up doctor visits.
Uh-huh.
And I'm reading it with the magnifier, and I'm only looking at the dollar amounts and stuff.
Right.
And then, I can't read the whole thing. It's freaking me out. In the beginning, it says I owe $380. And then when I got to page 20, and it was saying the percentage of what you paid out and all
yeah.
that stuff, and now it says I owe $3,084. So now I'm going to make an appointment with that Human Services in Elkhorn.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call them tomorrow
yeah.
and see if I can get an appointment and bring that in, if someone can just go over it with me, because my friend says she doesn't understand it, because there was a lot of stuff in there that they denied. So if they denied paying it, do I have to pay?
Probably not. That would depend upon the conditions in which the charges were made. And I would think, though, for the most part,
right.
that the places you've gone, that they're going to take assignment for Medicare. And so Medicare is paying that 80% anyway. And,
mm-hmm.
your Medigap policy or whatever should cover the other portion. But even if it didn't, you're not going to be in four digits. But I think it's a great idea you're making that appointment, because having somebody through all this will
try.
Be a big help. All right. Well, keep
I'm
me posted.
I'm going to try.
Sounds like a
and
good
then,
report. Hang on a minute.
Wait a minute.
If there's an and then, you got to hold on. Don't go away. All right. So
okay.
Got to check out this right now on WGN Radio.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to a bright summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart? Do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare? Do you gaze at your bald head and wish you had hair? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome? Oh, Lord, Lord. I wonder. You know, someone said, the world's a stage and each must play a part. Oh, God. Oh, man, I tell you. Ooh, Lord. And I had no cause to die. Sing it, baby. Shall I come again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yes, it was Larry and Little Rock West for that last night. And that was 1969 when Elvis Presley was appearing headliner in Las Vegas at the International, which of course became the Las Vegas Hilton. In any event, it was a midnight show, and what had happened was a guy in the front row had a wig on that he took off, and, you know, since Elvis, you know, started with, do you gaze at your bald head and wish you had hair? But that's not what set him off. What set him off in that, and that he couldn't recover, was Sissy Houston in the background. She was a background singer for him on that, that she never, ever broke form. She just continued to wail, and that just, the longer it went on, the funnier he found that. And so that's the deal. That tape's going everywhere, and it was Larry and Little Rock who wanted to hear it. And yeah, hard to believe that was... going on, it'll be 57 years in June. All right, so there you have the laughing version of Are You Lonesome Tonight? But yeah, it was Sissy. All right, so if you listen to that again, you'll see exactly why. It just, he just lost it. All right, so back to Jim in Richmond.
Yes, and I thank you for listening to me and listening to my problems. I just wanted to mention that on the 26th, I finally gave in, and I'm going to have that colonoscopy.
Uh-huh.
On the 26th.
All right.
And then the last thing I wanted to mention is, you know who Wendy Snyder is, the backup person on personality on WGN?
Uh-huh.
She just announced the other two days ago that she has macular degeneration, and she's been getting eye injections.
Okay.
I was trying to text her for information, but I never got through.
Oh.
But
well, that's very sad news to hear. It's been a tough health time for the folks at WGN. Was it Lisa Dent who managed to break her shoulder? And from what I understand, it was just a horrible break. And thrilled that she's back at work now. But boy, that had to be awful.
No, Lisa's not back yet.
No, she's not. I heard a promo yesterday when I was doing this show.
Oh yeah, she was still doing promos, but she's not back yet because John Hansen was on today, and Wendy was on yesterday.
All right. So what was that promo for?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I thought that basically that promo meant she was back. But all right, well, hopefully she will be soon.
She had to get a shoulder replacement.
Oh yeah, I know, and just a bad break. You know that that happens, and it is, life turns on a dime. You know, you get up and everything seems fine, and you pow. That's the, and it goes the other way too with life. Sometimes, you know, things are just terrible, and all of a sudden, you know, something drops in your lap that's wonderful. So that's the beauty of being on this particular planet, is that things do change in an instant.
Yep, and I thank you again. And I hope John feels better.
Yeah.
And I will continue to listen. I listen every night, so.
All right. Well, good deal. And, keep us posted and let me know how it goes with Hadley. They may have information
then,
for you on that app.
Right. And, by the way, somebody when we were sitting in the doctor's office, my brother goes to me, "What's the name of that place that has the magnifiers?" and I go, Wisconsin Forward on Hadley Road in Milwaukee. And the guy goes, "Oh, thank you. I'm going to look it up."
Oh, yeah, there you are.
So I helped somebody out.
Good. Excellent. So, all right. Well, keep us posted.
I will. Have
okay,
a
thanks.
Great one.
Appreciate it. Yeah, all right. So I guess I got to listen more carefully to those promos. 888-876-5593. Cindy is in Chicago. What's up, Cindy?
Yeah, speaking of bedding, I got a new duvet. Excuse me, my throat. Yeah, I got a new duvet from Macy's. I think it was $37, and it has a ruffle. I guess what happened, I had like a $100 duvet, and I had it for a while, but I guess, I don't know, you get what you pay for. I bought some pens from Dollar Tree, and they exploded all over it.
Well, that happens. Now, so is your duvet down, or is it cotton, or what is it?
Oh, it's cotton. It's cotton, and it goes over my feather quilt.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
And it came with pillow shams that I like.
Okay.
But then, the other thing I wanted to tell you is, I never was really into listening to classical music.
Who could blame you?
So I listen to it. Well, when I listen to it now, I put it on real low where I could just hear it when because I, you know, maybe that would help. I forgot your John sleep. I mean,
oh God! Well, it would certainly keep me awake. So
well, real low.
Oh, I don't want to hear it at all. But if he wants to do that, he can sleep in the living room.
Okay, well, I don't have medication nightmares from listening to that.
Well, he doesn't have medication nightmares either. But yeah, no, if he wanted headphones, that would be fine, or earbuds or something, just as long as I never have to hear it.
Yeah, I know.
I draw the line at that.
Yeah, I know. I know that about you.
Yeah.
But then anyhow, and then the other thing, it's negative, but I'm sorry, but you heard about the Cheerios General Mills recall, didn't you?
Yeah, what's the deal on that?
I can't even say it. They said there was rat feces in the Cheerios cereal.
Mm. Now, by the way, it's only affecting certain areas from what I understand, because it was a distribution facility. So I think Indiana, North Dakota, and Minnesota. I don't know how they consider that the tri-state region, but okay. Minnesota and NODAC, I can see. But Indiana? All right. So,
well, I don't know if I'm getting bipolar, paranoid, or just my premonition. You know, how do you know that they're not lying, that all the Cheerios are contaminated?
Well, okay, how do you know that? Number one, they're not all made in the same distribution centers. Number two, not all products are made in the same distribution center. So if you're saying, well, you know, it's Cheerios, my God, it must be Pringles too, or Nutella. Well, what are we Nutella for anyway? The bottom line is that, you know, these are regulated, to say the least, and the FDA is involved in this particular recall, so
okay.
it'll have lot numbers, and so there'll be, you know, codes no matter what. And so the problem is that the distribution center, they didn't make anything there, they just stored it there. And so the last time there was a Cheerios recall, remember, it was like 10 years ago, and it was because of undeclared allergens, like they found a nut in it or something. But this time, what it is was one of the warehouses. The warehouse had rodent and bird waste and all that. And so these items got recalled. But the recall codes are absolutely online and available, so you'll know what they are.
Yeah, it was in Illinois, but the thing that, you know, I told Mike about that I heard about it, and we just went through like a box and a half of a giant boxes of Cheerios.
Yeah.
And then we found out it wasn't Illinois, you know, I found out like 2 hours later it wasn't Illinois. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I'd buy no General Mills. I mean, it's just...
Well, I wouldn't go that far. And, you know, the interesting thing is when you're talking about commercially produced food, the standards that the FDA allows are also frightening to some extent. Like a lot of people will mention, you can have rodent hairs in peanut butter, you know, without it being a problem. Obviously, not a lot of them, but, you know, that's allowable. So it's up to you what you eat and how it's made, obviously.
Well, that reminds me of something. I tried to read Ralph Nader's book when he was, but then in his book he said he did more, you know, he pretty much cut the rat feces and hot dogs to like 2% from his whatever his activism.
That's pretty high, actually. I think the FDA for the aforementioned peanut butter is like one rodent hair per 100 grams, not 2%.
I don't know what it is, 0.2%.
Well, yeah, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, really.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're concerned and you've got time on your hands, make stuff from scratch at home.
Yeah, I do. It keeps me going. I made Spanish rice and I fried up some fish and olive oil, salt and pepper.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of fish it was. Now there's a tilapia on sale. I'm trying to eat more fish. And and I changed my trust. I got the bill. I guess Lisa, my cousin, is very, what's the word? I don't know. I can't, like, she has no, she's not very thoughtful over me. And I've done so. I even bought her daughter a Michael Kors winter jacket for, like, her birthday. And they don't, you know, they don't even think of me or, you know, they couldn't even send me a birthday card or, and no. I changed my trust. I did, you know, they got enough from me. I still talk to them. I text them, but I did enough for them. And if Mike is gone, everything goes to Chuck's family. And, I think if I preceded Mike before I died, hopefully I would talk to Mike and tell him, well, like, if you're passed, you know, when I pass, do the trust over where it still goes to Mike's family.
Yeah.
I mean, family.
Well, the more you put in writing, the better off you are. That's, I'll say that. No matter what your wishes are, make sure you don't just verbally tell anybody. Put it in writing.
Well, yeah, but you could always do a bypass trust. Too,
all right.
I guess,
well, there's a lot of things you can do, but as you're telling the story, the only thing that I'm picking out for the universe in general is don't rely on making your thoughts known verbally. Always put things in writing, and depending on the state you're in, you might have to do it in a certain way, but it's the biggest gift you can leave those who are left behind when you go, so there's no nonsense about who gets what to whom. All right. Gotta go. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. So how much rat poop, bug bites, mice hair, the unavoidable defects, they say, is in that food you're eating? We might be discussing that tonight, but I'll play one of your requests next on WGN Radio. Yvonne Vernee, 1965 on Sunburnt, and it's an interesting record, and it was Evelyn in Michigan who requested that, along with two others. She's always got good taste and brings up things that you otherwise do not hear, and Yvonne Vernee, also Yvonne Symington, was the second lead singer of the Elgins. Yeah, when Sondra Edwards left in 1968, Yvonne came in, and she continues to the present day, as far as I know, at least of a couple of years ago, to sing with the Elgins. Yeah, and she had been in the Donnays before that, you know, Devil in His Heart and all that. Yeah, but this was on Sunbart. You say, what kind of label is that? Well, yeah, Sonny Sanders and Robert Bateman, they owned it, so Sunbart. Okay, that was the deal there, and correct tone and all that good stuff. And so yes, Yvonne Vernie, happy to play it. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. We got two more from Evelyn as well. I'll try to get to him tonight, but if not, it'll be tomorrow night because we got a lot of stuff. All right, Marty in Indiana. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Good evening, Raleigh, and thank you very much for playing the Hayden Thompson song last night. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that nice? That was a good little song.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I told you this last night, but I ended up recording that on my cell phone.
Okay. All right.
And I wasn't going to call in tonight, but when you played that the Elvis funny...
Larry in Little Rock requested that, yes.
That cracked me up, and then the story behind it.
Yeah.
So I've got a request tonight, and I'll make this quick because I know you got a bunch of other callers, but... I got a request, but there's another recall out there since you and the lady you were just talking to, you know, the Nutella and Pringles and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But now the recall is those animal crackers. It's nationwide now. They're recalling animal crackers.
Yeah, let's hear the punchline.
All the seals are broken.
All right, there you go. I knew it was coming. All right. So what's your request?
I've got a healthy sense of humor.
No, you do. What's your request?
Blues Channel in Gary, Indiana. I live like 20 miles. I live closer to the Illinois-Indiana border.
Uh-huh.
But they played the Arthur Crudup, That's All Right.
You're right.
My request. Yeah.
You want to hear it?
No, I heard that from Arthur Crudup, but... When Elvis, you know, was 54, Elvis, I guess he recorded then too.
Yep.
But you got Elvis's rendition?
Of course,
All Right, Mama.
Of course I do, and I'll be happy to play it for you. All right, thanks.
That was a dumb question.
No, happy to play it for you. All right, Marty, thanks for calling.
Yep, bye.
All right, so we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and more and be back to it with you on WGN Radio.
Got another girl, heard you got another friend. I heard you've been running around, heard you're gonna put me down. Now I'm asking my friend, tell me what should I do?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was on Dud. And Dud Sound was a Chicago label. Yeah, Oscar Coleman owned that, Bo Dud. And that's the Soulettes, which actually, they have an interesting history, to say the least. Wouldn't expect it, but Jamaican. And the lead singer, Rita, married Bob Marley. And, and she was also part of I3 with Marsha Griffith, you know, Marley's backup girls and all that. But I thought Find Somebody New was just a terrific record. And I don't know how it wound up on Dud Sound. I'm sure there's a story there somewhere I should read. But I hadn't thought about that record in the longest time and forgot how much I liked it, too. So I'm glad that Evelyn in Michigan requests that. The Soulettes! Yeah. 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Last few nights, John and I were talking about this earlier. I'm not sure why. And I guess if there was anybody who could track traffic, whether it's in retail establishments or phone calls to a radio station, if you knew when that was happening, probably you'd be a multimillionaire, but we don't. And there are times when, man, every line in this place is lit up until I'm off the air and I don't get to say much other than whatever's on your mind, which is my favorite thing to do anyway. But then there are other nights that it's just it's just lacking. Let's go with that. So this would be one of those lacks. And if there's something you've always wanted to talk about on the radio, this would be your big chance to do it. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And we can talk about a number of things, including how the military used camels to explore the Southwest. Yes, it's like that. And, I've got a ton of stories, thanks to Bob, of course, who often engineers the show when Adam is not available, but also sends me just these terrific links. And, yeah, when I say I talk about absolutely nothing, Bob is swell at finding absolutely nothing to talk about, and indeed. So, several things. Oh, like, I don't know. We have, it wasn't just humans on the Titanic, but you probably know that. However, there may be Titanic facts of which you're not aware, although God knows the movies and everything else made it all top of mind awareness. But back in 1912, the Titanic cost $7.5 million to build. And today that would be $400 million, which actually, you know, doesn't sound like that much, but it's more than some sports stadiums. And it took 3 years to complete. And at the time, it was one of the most extravagant ships ever made. That part I know because years and years ago, I think it was 1999, a guy wrote a book saying that he had been the shipmaker, if you will, the builder of the Titanic, and he was reincarnated. And yeah, perfect for Coast to Coast, don't you think? And so, but I remember it was actually kind of a fascinating story in terms of that. And who knows? But I do remember it was very costly, and there were other issues as well. And yes, there were dogs, at least 12 dogs. Yeah, there was a special first-class kennel, even a dog show scheduled. Only three of the dogs survived, the small ones, the small enough ones to sneak onto lifeboats, but the rest of them say sayonara. What's that? The band really did play on, you probably know that, the violinist who didn't make it, his violin was found intact and all that. Pocket watch frozen in time, and apparently one of the stewards. His pocket watch stopped at exactly 1:50 a.m. just before the ship went under. He was last seen handing out life jackets to third-class passengers, and that was it. Yeah. A survivor with frostbitten legs and Olympic dreams? There you go. A guy who spent 6 hours in icy waters. And it was interesting because, of course, you know, frostbite and all that. The ship doctor said, "We got to amputate." And he said, "No, you will not." And bottom line is that he refused to lose his legs. And he later went on to a Wimbledon title and an Olympic gold medal. So how about that? And of course, in 1985, Titanic was found, and it was actually an accident. Yeah, an oceanographer. He was sent by the Navy to look for a couple nuclear submarines and use the Titanic as a cover story. Yeah, but didn't indeed, I guess, found it. So there were dishes still stacked neatly on the ocean floor. Yeah, the wooden cabinets rotted away, but man, that china. Absolutely there, just as it was. And the ship is still there, rusting away, and nature's reclaiming it slowly but surely. And a newly discovered bacterium is eating the ship. And they're saying maybe 30 years from now, that'll be it. Well, I guess they'll keep an eye on it, so to speak. The latest expeditions have already shown that pieces that were previously there are gone. So the clock is ticking. And there's absolutely no photos of the Grand Staircase. And you've probably seen that in movies and stuff like that. It wasn't the Titanic. Actually, it was the Olympic, a sister ship. And no one thought to take a picture of the real deal before the maiden voyage. And yeah, they definitely didn't think about it while it was happening. All right, so Milton Hershey almost boarded. Yeah, and that's always interesting. No matter what the disaster, there's always somebody who's got a great story about how they missed, in this case, the ship. And yes, the same Hershey from the chocolate family. He almost booked a room on the Titanic. He wrote a $300 deposit check, which is big money back then. Business delayed him. He skipped the trip. Yeah, that's right. Best $300 he lost. A baker who survived 2 hours in icy water. And apparently the chief baker survived. And one of the worst parts about the sinking, of course, was how cold the water was. And this guy tread water for 2 hours before rescue. And want to know how he made it? He'd been sipping whiskey to face his fate. He was sure he was going. And the alcohol in his blood kept him warm enough to survive. Yeah. The last lunch menu went for a tasty sum. As I say, they found the ship, and so, of course, they found some of the artifacts. And in 2015, a copy of the Titanic's last first-class lunch menu sold for $88,000. And if you're wondering, grilled mutton chops, chicken a la Maryland, and corned ox tongue. Yes, safe to say lunch on the Titanic wasn't your average sandwich and chips. All right, so there you have the Titanic. And many more just like it. Or we can change the subject to whatever's on your mind. And in the meantime, one thing we will do is play another one of your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
In every beat of my heart, there's a beat for you. There's a toast for you. In all my conversation, you're my inspiration. In everything I do, I do for you. Although we're so far apart, my love is true, true. Of my heart.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, it's Gladys Knight and the Pips, and that was from Fran to Gary in Austin, and interestingly, of course, that was a remake, as you might expect, but that was the big hit, and actually probably a lot nicer than the original, if you remember it, but the original was the Royals, who became Hank Ballard and the Midnighters in 1952 on Federal. And it was Johnny, what do I do with it? I've got it here somewhere. I'll play it for you. Right. I had it all, but, well, a lot of things happen around here. But yeah, it was altogether an interesting song. And it was right in front of me minutes ago, but it's since gone the way of all flesh. So, oh, well, you're probably fortunate that you're not hearing it, all things were equal. But let me real quickly see if I have this here. I'm afraid I do. So, when Hank Ballard was doing it as the Royals, it sounded a lot different.
In every beat of my heart, there's a beat for you.
was true. And all my conversations, you're my inspiration. Everything I do, I'll do for you.
So that's how it sounded in 1952. And of course, you heard how it sounded in the 60s by Gladys Knight. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Isaac is on the South Side. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Good evening.
What's up?
You're talking about the Titanic. I don't know if we've talked about this or not. And if we have, we can move on. But there was a book that I read called Black Men on the Titanic. It was about the probably one of the few black men that also perished in the Titanic. Did we talk about this before?
No.
No? Okay. I read a book about him. His name was Joseph LaRoche. He was Haitian. He actually was born, I guess he was technically born into the Haitian royal family, which is kind of how he ended up on the Titanic. I don't think that holds that much weight. I think if you speak to maybe 100 Haitian people, 95 of them have been born into the royal family. Like the president or whomever had a lot of kids, which kind of, you know, dilutes the bloodline. But his mother sent him, his wealth really came from his mother, who owned a business in Haiti. And she sent him to France to be educated. And he met a woman, and they got married, and they had two daughters. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't coming to America. He was going back to Haiti. But in order to do that, he had to come to America, like, in a layover type of situation.
Right.
And of course, the inevitable happens. He was in the second class. Right. There are actual people that, you know, because he was the only black man, they remember talking to him and you know, entertaining him and his two children. And so the reason that he ended up dying, people have argued that it has to do with race. I actually don't believe that it does. So when I think we all know that at the end of the movie, there's two sides to the boat, clearly. And one side of the boat, there was a senior deckhand. I think his name was Toller or Lighthouse. Either way, let's say on the port side of the boat, they were getting people in lifeboats. And the rule was when the senior deckhand, or maybe the captain, gave the order to start letting people on the lifeboats, he said women and children, you know, for them to get on. So the two deckhands who were loading on the port side and the starboard side, they both interpreted that differently. Mm-hmm. On the port side, they interpreted that as women and children only.
Right.
But on the starboard side, they interpreted that as women and children first. And then if there are no women and children, then men can get on the boat.
Right.
So there are a lot of men who were lucky enough to go on the opposite side and get on lifeboats. There were people, and the reason that I say this is because there were men who came all the way down from the engine room of the Titanic and still made it on lifeboats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was on the unfortunate side. His wife, I will mention his wife and his children.
Right.
His children are mixed race. His wife was white or French. And so they got on boats, and they would not allow him on the boat.
Right.
People like to say that it is because they did not know that they were married because he was black and she was white. But I really think that it's because he was on the wrong side of the boat, and it was just unfortunate that he was on that side of the boat. Because if
I would agree with you.
Other side.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are, and we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
In
WGN Radio. I'm Robert James. Carolyn Crawford, a song you never heard when it came out, because it didn't come out. Motown recorded it in 1965. And Smokey Robinson all the way, and they did nothing. And then later, when they were, you know, combing through everything, let's find more things to release on Cellar Full of Motown, it came out, yeah, like, what, 40 years later or something? So Smokey had written a few things for her. She's about 16 at the time. Originally, a couple years before that, she had won a talent contest on WCHB in Detroit, and the prize was the contract with Motown. Not bad, right? And so not sure they knew exactly what to do with her, but they did get her some nice Smokey Robinson songs like My Smile is Just a Frown Turned Upside Down, which got to number 39. And she did some backup work for Motown as well. And then they pretty much, you know, a year later or so, they didn't renew the contract. And so that was the deal. But becomes a favorite, of course, Northern Soul, don't you know? And she worked at a number of different acts as far as that goes, and, you know, backup singing and all that. But as far as using her own name, very little. I think Northern Soul, again, Ian Levine's Motor City Project, more than anything, probably. But Carolyn Crawford. All right, so that was the third of Evelyn's requests. And we got four of Jimmy P's six-pack left. We played two of them last night, and we will get there. But we're talking to Isaac, and Isaac in on the south side of Chicago about the Titanic. Yes, indeed. And, yeah, you know, I'm aware of that guy, and I would agree with you that it was not a racial thing. You know, firstly, I don't think that he was originally booked on the Titanic. He was going to take another ship, and there was something about the way the families were treated, or you couldn't eat lunch with your kids or something.
Correct, yeah.
And so, you know, he was in first class on that other ship, but to get on the Titanic, he wound up in second class. So it wasn't that he couldn't afford a first class ticket. He could have. It's just that that was not available at the time when he decided to do that. And he wasn't trying to come, to New York or anything like that. He wanted to go to Haiti to have his third kid born. And so
this was the transfer.
But I think one of the daughters lived until, well, certainly into this century.
Into the 90s.
Yeah.
Into the 90s. Yeah. Actually, another argument that is had is that, you know, he was married to, I don't know what her name is, but his wife.
Yeah, Juliet.
To kind of like as a come up, you know, through society. But once again, he was he had this big education, and was like, I think, a seamstress's daughter or something like that.
No, her father was some kind of a wine merchant.
Okay.
And so he had money, and they were actually living off of him in France,
right.
And that's one of the reasons that he, like, I don't want to live off my father-in-law, and he got a deal because his uncle was president of Haiti or something at the time, and he was going to be a mathematics teacher.
Okay.
So yeah. That was the deal. I mean, clearly he had had education, and the reason they wanted to leave so quickly is that third kid he wanted born in Haiti, and so that's what caused him to jump ship, so to speak, and leave that first class passage on the France and do the Titanic. Yeah.
And my point in saying that is that I think his wife truly did love him. She never remarried again. She kept his name until her dying day, and even on her tombstone, even though she died, I think, in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And another main part was that I think this story wasn't necessarily hidden, but it was forgotten about, because with the invasion of the Nazis in France with the First World War,
sure,
she went out into the backyard, and she took all his pictures and all of his, any memorabilia of her husband, and she buried it in the backyard, because if the Nazis had found out that her children were mixed race, she felt that they would, you know, what they would have done to them. So that's what she did. But on her tombstone, she had it dedicated more or less to him, that she was the wife of Joseph Leroux, the, passenger missing at sea, is what it's written on there. But yeah.
Now, what really I'm wondering about, did anyone ever find what she buried?
They didn't mention that in the book, so I guess not.
I would hope somebody would look for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. At this point, I don't think papers would, this was World War One, would survive any of
well,
that.
Well, you never know. Who knows what she buried him
That's
in or
true.
Whatever. I mean, I'd certainly, even if they were tatters, I'd be real curious to have somebody look
to
for
see,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no grandchildren. The son died early,
yeah. And
the daughters never had any kids. So I'm glad that his story, you know, that all of their stories lives on, that someone was interested enough to write an entire book
yeah.
about them. And it became yeah. a really, really interesting story. But, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think it had little to do with race.
Yeah.
I think in an emergency situation like that, people, I would hate to think they do, but people don't have the time to be prejudice and
well, yeah, I don't think so either. And like you say,
yeah.
luck of the draw, that's just where it's fate. If he was on the other side
it
of the
was.
Ship, he
if
probably
he was
would,
on the other
yeah,
side, yep.
would be in a lifeboat.
There,
so, yeah.
There were Asian survivors, and they did a documentary about it. I have yet to see that documentary. There were six Asian guys. I think, were they Japanese? I'm not sure. But they all survived, and
yeah.
they were shunned by their community because, like, how dare you, you know.
They were Chinese.
Chinese,
they
okay.
They were Chinese, and they were named, like, Li Bing and Zhang Jing, and, you know, I mean, it was like that. I mean, I don't mean to say
yeah.
it derogatorily, but
yes.
it was about like that. They were third-class passengers, though. They were not.
And they made it all the way to the top to get on a
yeah,
what
right,
you call it?
Right, and they were heading to the Caribbean. And so what's interesting is what happened when they got here, because they were deported.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the Chinese Exclusion Act. So it's like, oh, God, mm-hmm. I survived the Titanic, but I can't stay here. You know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
so,
yeah.
so, yeah, there was a movie about it, The Six. I never saw it, but
The Six. I've not. I should search it out because they said that one of the families is. Somehow he made his way back to America or something like that, and
okay.
their family is living here, and she didn't even know this of her you know great-great-grandfather. She had
oh,
no
wow.
clue that this was
oh,
her
wow.
Legacy. Yeah, that was his legacy. But I think it was such an interesting story. Why does the Titanic have such a grip on us? I mean, what, 1912? How like, you know, why are we still talking
well,
about
it? Well, it was advertised to be such a grand ship. I mean, this was the creme de la creme. This was, it could never sink. I mean, it was literally billed that way. And it was
okay.
the top notch of society on this voyage. And the fact that it happened at all was just so shocking to people. As far as after the fact, I don't know, you know, you never know why one thing picks up and another thing doesn't. But, you know, when you mm-hmm. hear about stories of a bunch of fishermen dying, that doesn't have the cachet of all these top-notch society people getting on this world-class vessel that couldn't sink, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was more than that. And, of course, stories. A story catches on, and that's it. You know, how much is Hollywood, how much is real, who knows. But like I say, I loved interviewing that guy. I wish I kept the tape of who swore that he was the reincarnated shipbuilder. And
okay.
he knew everything about the White Line and everything about
is that Ishmael?
In terms of what he was in the White Line, I don't know, but I think his name was like
okay.
William Barnes or something here. You know, I don't think it was.
Okay.
It was
okay,
you know,
yeah.
it wasn't anything that way. But yes, he was the reincarnation. And there was a book. It came out, like I say, in 1999, and then it went out of print. But there's been other mm-hmm. books about him since then. So as far as, but I just found it, I mean, this guy had it down, you know, he knew everything. I mean, maybe he made a lot of it up, who knows, but yeah, the guy he supposedly was reincarnated from was a guy named Thomas Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read
okay.
about Thomas Andrews, from what I can tell, had his doubts about this ship. You know, mm-hmm. there were plenty of complaints to go around beforehand on White Line and all that. And so
mm-hmm.
this guy's past life memories were all about his grief for having not spoken up more or done more beforehand.
Mm, okay, quite
yeah.
an interesting persona to take on.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot what my point was. But all right. Thank you, Raleigh, for taking my call.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, Isaac. Appreciate it. Okay, bye. All right. So yeah, I'll have to try and dig that guy up somehow. But yeah, I remember that. It was, you know, that's probably the only interview when I was first subbing for Art Bell in the 90s. That's the only one that I really remembered because I liked that. And yeah, the publicist actually came to Philadelphia, or was living at the time, to kind of court me to get me to do this. And I'm thinking, you don't have to go very far. I want to do this book. We've got Fran and Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. I was racking my brain trying to think of something to call about because I noticed you were, you know, really needing callers.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was thank you, first of all, for playing In Every Beat of My Heart. I like that version. That's one of the cases where I like the hit version better.
Oh, me too. I mean, it pales. But, you know, I can see the time. And Johnny Otis wrote it, and it was, you know, part of Johnny Otis' show. And there was the Royals, who, of course, became Hank Ballard and the Midnighters. And, you know, yeah, a decade later, it sure sounded better.
Oh, yeah, so much better. And it seemed like a lot of people around then were trying to sound like the Ink Spots or something.
Yes.
The same kind of vowel tone and, you know, the same.
Yes.
I like a lot of this. I like a lot of that stuff. Don't get me wrong, but that particular, nah.
Yeah.
But that's kind of an important song to us because that, I dedicated that to Gary when we were still having a long distance relationship, and we were having a lot of problems because I was trying to find somebody. I did not want to move to Texas. I did not want to leave California. I did not.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just no way. And so Gary was more than willing to move to California, but I could not find a place that we could afford.
Yeah. I can understand.
The place that I was living. The place that I was living in at the time was a dump and a half. I mean, we had cops there just about every day. I had a crack dealer living upstairs, and there were fights. And, you know, Gary was kind of, you know, afraid for me living there.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, small. But anyway, you know, so it kind of harkens back to the days when we had kind of a long distance relationship, and we were trying to figure out what to do because, you know, seeing each other every couple of months is just kind of, you know, it got difficult after a while. I mean, even though we talked often, but so I wound up coming to Texas.
Well, you know, it's funny when you're talking about it being expensive to go to California, and hell yes, it is. But as far as Texas goes, Austin is one of the more expensive places to be.
Yeah, and we were, the reason we chose Austin is because of some of the services, and it turned out that some of the services I thought we could get, we couldn't get because we're not looking for work. But, you know, it's one of those kind of things. But, but I thought, okay, Austin, you know, has the transportation, it has the services. It's kind of weird. I'm too conservative for Austin and too liberal for Texas.
I can understand that. Well, we always laugh about Austin. Like we've talked about, the nicest thing of Austin is how close it is to Texas. And it's a very different mindset from the rest of the state. That's absolutely true. So
And it's, you know, it's overdone. I mean, you know, I used to think I was pretty liberal until I moved here. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. You know?
Hey, at least I know how to think. Okay, for myself. But anyway,
yeah. Believe me, I relate. It almost gets funny after a while, you know, in terms of that.
Oh, it is. It really is. But we thought about, you know, trying to move to a smaller town in Texas or some other. You know, I'd like to get out of Texas and go. And I don't know where I want to go, you know, because if I go back to California, it's not going to be like it was when I was there.
Oh, no, you can't. You know, it's true for anybody. Nobody can ever go home again, let's face it. But the reality is big time with that, you know, you go back to California, the California you knew is not there anymore.
No.
You know,
And although I still have a lot of I still have some friends that I keep in touch with there, and when I talk to them, I'm so envious, and I just want to, you know, go back there.
Yeah,
and,
No, I know.
But
absolutely.
I was living in Monterey when I left, and of course, I love Monterey.
Yeah, well, you're not going to afford that. So
I'm not. Yeah. No, I was very fortunate then, and then in those days they had because the cost of living was so high, they had an SSI extra supplement thing that they don't have anymore. You know, so I don't know how the people I know that live there were kind of grandfathered into that, and they you know.
Yeah,
and some of the people I know that live there are, you know, in their 50s and 60s and still having to live with their families. And I'm like, no, just no. When I was 18, I was out of there.
Yeah, you and me both. Hold on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. I think I need to do something, and I will, just in case, on WGN Radio.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the jive, and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the jive and me, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Boy.
I love jive, sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Shoot me the pot. Now pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Oh, slip me a slug from the wonderful mug. I've got a rug till I'm stuck in the jug. A slice of onion and a raw one. Draw one. Waiter, waiter, percolator. I love coffee. I love tea, I love the jabba jive, and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the jabba and me, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
And we'll be back at it in moments on WGN Radio.
I want a Sunday kind of love, a love to last past Saturday night. I'd like to know it's more than love at first sight. I want a Sunday kind of love. Can't seem to find somebody to care. I'm on a lonely road that leads me nowhere.
I'll take you somewhere.
I need a Sunday kind of love. I do my Sunday dreaming. Sunday scheming, every minute, every hour, every day, and I'm hoping to discover that certain kind of lover who will show me the way. My heart needs someone to enfold. To keep me warm when Mondays are cold, so cold.
I'll keep you warm.
A love for all WGN my
life. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's Kenny Rankin, Sunday Kind of Love. 1975 on Little David. Yeah, it was a great album, a number of things on that. And it was one of the ones that Mary Ellen wanted to hear, who we'll be talking to in a moment. We also have Karen and Robert and Cleveland Dennis, and we're talking to Fran, who I said, hold on, here's the news. All right, we're back. Now, where were we?
We were just talking about how you can't go home again.
Yes.
They were
Yes, you can't go home anymore. And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the years, especially people who are considerably older, you're like us. And bottom line is that some of them who have done that, who have moved back to wherever it was, every one of them to a person regretted it. I never heard.
The only thing is, I really wish I could think of somewhere to live this. I do not like Texas. I'm just, it's too hot here most of the time, and I just, you know, it has nothing to do with politics or anything else so much as that I just don't like it here.
How about Wyoming?
Never have been able to, oh, God. But I think, well, where, other than my memories of California, where else would I want to be? And I don't know. So,
Yeah, it's tough because normally there is something outside drawing us to a place, whether it's, friends or family or a job or what have you. So to just, take a dart and put it on a map, it's really hard to make those determinations, especially if you haven't been to the area.
Yeah, and the one thing I do love about Austin is our paratransit service.
Yeah, Capital Metro, right. And that's important.
Yeah,
that's really important because when you start looking at smaller communities, one of the drawbacks in most cases is just terrible transit as far as that goes. If you were in Globe, you can't leave Globe unless you got a car. Or want a very expensive Uber ride. There's just nothing like mass transit. It's funny, Greyhound announced a few years ago they were coming to Globe. It's the funniest damn thing because what it is, they're going from El Paso to Phoenix, and they pass through Globe. They'll pick you up, they'll take you to Phoenix, but you can't come back the same day. So,
some of my friends who live in smaller towns, they complain about, they do have some paratransit, but you have to make a 3-day in advance ride, and it costs more, and they don't run out on weekends, or after 6 o'clock in the evening, and ours runs 24/7. When I was I got here and I was. I was rereading your book because I was trying to make some decisions and I was making my list. The top of my list was, I do not want to lose more independence.
Right. Good for you. I think that should be at the top of your list. Yes.
And so if we move somewhere else, I might like it better as far as, it not being Austin, Texas, but, would I be able, here I can do some of the, a lot of the things I need to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's interesting because there's a number of places that come to mind, but I don't think you want to live in Park City, Utah. They have
not necessarily. No.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
right. But or for that matter, like Rochester, Minnesota, it really does have good paratransit. It's a great medical as far as that goes. But it's Rochester, Minnesota. That's
and Gary does not want to move where there is snow.
Oh, okay. So we just crossed a lot of places off the list. So no snow.
I know.
Texas.
Mind.
All right. Now, I just, while we were talking, I just looked it up as far as California cities with great transit. And the first one that came up was Hanford. How about that?
Where is that? I don't even know where that is.
Well, yeah, and you may not want to, but as far as that goes. But do you know where Tulare is?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Yes,
well,
I do.
Well, you're in the general vicinity. It's San Joaquin Valley, like Selma or, Fresno's the big city. Okay, who said that? But anyway, but they're reputed to have great paratransit. That's interesting. I wouldn't have expected
that. Yeah, like Sacramento was supposed to have good transit, but not only paratransit, but good bus lines and so forth. But
Sacramento's
again,
pricey.
Again, one of the things I hate about Texas is it's so damn hot. And that would be the same thing, hot, and the whole idea of picking up everything and moving is just you know, especially with the health stuff and different things going on, just way too much for me to contemplate at this point.
Right, right. But you can dream and you can still research.
Yeah.
Sometimes college towns wind up with great paratransit, you know, as far as that goes. So there's a number of places. You don't want to go to College Station, Pennsylvania, although it's a great little college town, but it could snow, you know, so that's out. Yeah. Well, I'll keep looking. We'll see. But in the meantime, make the best of it and pretend you're somewhere else.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately right now I stay home a lot anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. Yes. All right, well, good deal. Well, I haven't forgotten your other request, and you will hear it this week too.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Mary Ellen in Oak Lawn, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi, Raleigh. Just want to tell you thank you so much for playing those songs. I thoroughly enjoyed the Java Jive song. It was just so cool.
Yeah.
I just loved it. And some of the parts I had forgotten. It's been so long since I heard it. And then right after that, you played the Kenny Rankin. And I was surprised that you were a fan of Kenny Rankin's. Back in the day, I didn't really hear about him too much. It just happened by accident that I got his album, and I was just really surprised. And I enjoyed that. And the thing I wanted to say last night, I sort of forgot two things. It's enjoyable, you know, hearing all the different kinds of music that people request and who requests them. It's just interesting. It never gets boring. And the other thing is, there was an example like a couple weeks ago, there was a guy that called up and he couldn't remember, you know, too much about the song except there was a talking section in the middle.
Yeah.
And you were able to figure that song out for him. I was just so surprised. And I mean, I don't know of any radio personalities that do anything like what you do. And it's just, it's really so nice because I know, you know, like different songs will be in my head and I'll only remember part of it and it drives me nuts. You know, it gets on your mind. And, I mean, people that really love music, that's how it is. And you sort of identify with some of that. And if somebody's got a question, you'll do your best to get an answer for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I mean, it's sort of a respite from the usual talk of politics or whatever. So we just try to have a good time on the radio and the hell with everything else.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Music's a good outlet. But anyway, that's all. I just wanted to tell you thank you so much and what a nice evening it always is listening to you.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
All.
And you will hear your other, you'll hear Skeeter Davis and your Tommy Edwards probably tomorrow night.
Oh, thank you.
All right. My pleasure.
Okay, good
thanks.
Night for now.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. So, tomorrow full show too, three big hours, and we'll have fun with that, no doubt. Now, what do we have? I believe I'm looking to see who's been waiting forever, and that's unfortunately too many people. Karen in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
What's up?
I don't know what made me think of this, but I was thinking about, you know, when you're bored, you think about your high school days and all that. There are two performers. One was twin brothers, and the other one is by himself. Now, they were performing in, like, 1961 and 1962, right around my graduation.
Okay.
The first one, his name was Carl Hamill Jr., and he made a record called Summer Souvenirs.
Uh-huh.
Now, I never heard of him before or since, and I just wondered if that maybe was one of those that was popular around the Milwaukee area or was it a one-hit wonder or what? And the others were two brothers. They were twins. The Kalen twins.
Oh, of course,
Hal
Kirby. Yeah, Wen. Wen was a
and
big
I
hit.
Liked the, I wasn't crazy about the song, but I loved their harmony and the way the voices blended.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was a cute little record, actually. And yeah.
I did, too. I kind of liked it. But I'm wondering whatever happened to them.
Well, that's a great question. And as far as that goes, you know, at this point, I don't know that they'd be alive because they were born in 1934. So they'd be like 90,
oh, really?
They'd be like 92 oh, wow. years old now. Yeah, they weren't that young. And they were on Decca originally, but then Vocalion was the album when they did When. But When as a single came out in Decca in 1958. And but what happened to them after that? And I absolutely remember them. And one Herbie and Hal Kalin, and they were
yeah, I remember them very well. And I always thought
they're from Long Island.
Was so good.
What? Yeah, they were from Long Island. And I'm trying to think. Somebody got them into the business. I'm trying to think of who. Yeah, they're from Port Jervis. But let's see if I can find out. But there was a connection, and so I've got Herbie's Obit here, he and Hal.
Oh wow!
Yeah, let's see.
I know I liked When, and that's the only record I remember by them.
Well, it's the only hit they had. They did cut other records, but they weren't hits. When was a good little record. I thought.
Yeah, I thought so.
It was actually, as is often the case, it was a B-side.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, I think something like 3 o'clock Thrill or something like that was the A-side. And Paul Evans wrote When. And I think he had a co-writer. But if you remember Paul Evans, I loved Paul Evans. He was a jingle.
Oh, yeah.
He was a jingle
yeah.
writer. But, of course, Seven Little Midnight. Girls Sitting in the Back. Midnight Special and all that. Yeah, Seven Little
yeah,
Girls Sitting
in the
Back.
Yeah, he did that Midnight Special.
Yeah, right. That's him. And he wrote that. And I don't think he produced it, but he wrote it. In any event, that was the deal. But now we want to know, what happened to the Traylon Kalin twins after the hit?
Carl Hamill Jr.
Okay.
Who in the heck? It was 61 or 62, I think, and he came out with a song called Summer Souvenir.
Yeah.
And I remember this because I had one terrible teenage crush on him.
Well, I'll tell you, I know who this is because this guy was on Ted Max on the Amateur Hour.
You're kidding.
And he was from somewhere in Westchester County. And, and it's Carl with a K. Carl and Hamill with an E. So let's see if I can see anything about him. I've not looked him up, but that's fine. I never thought about him, but I remember he won Ted Mack.
Yeah. Bunch of my friends, I remember it because I had this terrible teenage crush on him, and a bunch of my girlfriends got together and they made up the story about how they went somewhere on weekend and they all met Carl Hamill Jr. and they made up the story about they talked to him and I'm just dying. How in the heck could you do that and not let me know? And I couldn't.
Yeah, but they made it up, obviously. Yes.
Sure they did. Oh, sure they did. And of course, we were a group of kids that all went home on weekends. We lived close enough. So naturally, they could make up some goofy thing like that. I lived in Waukesha, and they lived in Milwaukee. Well, hey, that was easy.
Well, I'll tell you, it has something in common, summer souvenirs, with the Kalin twins, because Paul Evans wrote that too. All right, so it was on Arliss, just a little New York a label, but yeah.
The castles we built on secluded beaches, the hills that we climbed like mountaineers. The magic of moments we share together.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't think I'd ever hear that again.
Well,
holy
yeah, I'll bet you. Now, I haven't looked, but I'll bet you that's on YouTube. You could easily find us. That's the kind of thing that is there. I mean, there was no...
I never thought it would be because I graduated in 62.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember hearing that song after
I got out of high school.
Yeah. Well, it didn't have much staying power as far as that goes. I think it did hit the Hot 100. I'd have to look to see where, but I think it was like in the 60s or 70s. I mean, it wasn't a big hit or anything like that. But
I really liked him. I thought he had such a nice voice, and I loved the song.
Yeah. Well,
you know, the melody of it.
Well, that's typical Paul Evans as far as that goes. So yeah, I'm sure that is on YouTube, but it almost couldn't not be. But now the question is, what happened?
I can do that. I can try Alexa too.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Arliss Records, if that helps. Arliss. And but what happened to Carl Hamill Jr.? Let's see if anybody will tell us. He performed as a trio, Carl and the Cayman, and then later he joined Kevin and the Rocking Saints, but this is all early stuff. All right.
I never heard of any of them.
Well, of course not. And it says, yeah. I love this. This is, of course, the AI stuff. No further information is available on the life or passing of. No, well, there's got to be information on him. So we'll try and find Carl. What did Carl do? If nothing else, I guess we could call Paul Evans. But... you know, what happened to Carl? It's interesting. What did the one-hit wonders do? And this wasn't even a hit, but nonetheless, after their moment of fame, I don't know. Well, now I got to look for them and got to find out what the Kalen twins wound up doing. I'll know. So I'll find out.
Well, thank you so much.
All right,
and
my pleasure.
I will let you go. I'm sure you have more callers.
Okay, great. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good deal. Talk to you
soon.
Have a
good one.
All right. So let's see. So one thing I found about the Kalen twins real quickly, well, I'll tell you about it right after this on WGN Radio.
I've got no chauffeur to chauffeur me. I've got no servant to serve my tea. But I'm as happy as a man can be, 'cause I've got a girl who loves nobody but me. I don't own stock in no stock exchange. I don't hold claim to no real estate. But I'm not living my life in vain, because I've got a girl who loves nobody but me. And every time my sweetie goes walking down some sunny street, she always sets the whole town to talking, 'cause she's a genuine Venus from her head down to her feet. I don't rank high in society. I don't possess a PhD. But I'm all set confidentially, because I've got a girl who loves nobody but me now. Nobody but me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Lou Rawls, 1965 on Capitol. Nobody but Lou on Rick had requested that. So there you go, Rick. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you heard it. All right. So for Karen and everybody else wondering about the Kalen twins, it's interesting. There's a lot written on them, but all they talk about is, and they went back to their day jobs. They never really expressed what those day jobs were, and went to college and got degrees in God only knows what. But that's pretty much all you're going to get. However, when they were hot and touring Great Britain, they became friendly with Cliff Richard, who, as it turned out, never forgot them. And so in the later 70s, when they were doing, you know, those shows, those retrospectives, those oldies package shows, Cliff Richard got them back together, and they did some singing in the 70s. But Herb had four kids, and I think he had a heart attack in 2006, and Hal died in 2005, a car accident. So that's, or maybe it's the other way around. Well, that's how they went. All right, so that's the deal on the Kalen twins. Right, we're not doing as well on our other fella, but I'll keep looking. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Gene is in Dalton. All right, Gene, how you feeling tonight?
Oh, how you doing? I I really enjoyed what you did for me last night playing Dorothy Shay's song.
Oh, my pleasure.
I was really under the weather, and that really cheered me up, and
good.
I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so glad you liked it.
I had a bad weekend. You know, I was supposed to go to two doctors on Monday, and Dalton, we were in a real freeze zone. We had three major leaks here in Dalton, and they were working on them, so I didn't have water. And with the water out, and they had to inflate all the pipes, they told me.
Okay.
When I talked to my lady at the public works, she tried to take care of me. And because I'm an old-timer here, they all know me.
Right.
I'm one of the oldest people here. But anyway, to make a long story short, I was without water, and we had to get the gallons of water and all that good stuff. So I didn't make it to my two appointments. So now I'm back to this stage. I have to be there next week. No, I'll be all tied up next week. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I thank you for, you know, thinking about me that you remembered to play the song.
Oh, sure.
You know, because I, you know, when the young man was impatient after me, you know, monopolized the program, so I didn't. I said, I'm not going to call.
No. Don't ever take any of that seriously. Don't even listen to it.
Oh, thank you. I told Kimberly, I said, you know, that really made me feel bad.
No,
I don't think I'm going to be calling.
No. Don't let that stop you for a minute. No. Absolutely. So
well,
now, are the pipes pressurized again? Do you have water now?
They are now, but, you know, Dalton is a very old town here, you know, in a suburb. It's one of the first towns, you know, back in the day, you know, that they came here. They had access to walk here from Chicago, and the pipes they will not do anything with. We've had a big change in politics here. We had a mayor that did all the headlines for us and everything out here and spent all the money.
Uh-huh.
So Pritzker was a friend of hers. It's not what you know, it's who you know, who is our governor, and he didn't give any money for water pipes, and we need them badly. I mean, I've known it since I've been here. You know, if my husband didn't work the railroad, I never would have ended up in Dalton. You know, I was born and raised in Midlothian, a little suburb.
Well, so, you know, it's interesting, you know, because usually with water, there can be federal dollars, too, if the city knows how to apply and the county knows how to apply for them. So there's very often money to be found that way when you're looking for that. So interesting.
And it wasn't done. It was graft and a lot of things here. This woman took out billboards to advertise herself. She spent money personally. But they didn't indict her. She was up a couple months ago before the holiday to court, and they didn't indict her. So, like I said, it's not what you know, who you know.
Oh, undoubtedly.
They didn't indict her.
Yeah.
And it was sad. So now we have old pipes just like me.
Okay.
But we're making it. I've got water now. It's not full pressure yet because they still have to wait to do some repairs. We had three leaks right around me. Because I'm off Sibley, which is a through street, you know, right to the expressways. So
there may be a silver lining here, because if those pipes are really that old, they may be lead. And if that's the case, then they have to be changed out. So, yeah, somebody should take a look at that. What are those old pipes made of? Yeah.
Right. I know. I worry about that a lot. We, you know, Kimberly and I, we have bottled water, then I drink a lot of seltzer. With my hernia, you know, I'm always with the seltzer water.
Right.
So I don't drink, and I wouldn't dare drink a drop of this water, being that we don't know exactly, because without the pressure, maybe there's still something in it. So Kimberly, this morning, took off the little nozzles, you know, on the faucets, and you'd be surprised the sediment that was in there.
Oh, I wouldn't be. I would expect it. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah,
but she cleaned all that out, and so we're doing, and you know, that was refreshing. Last night I was so down on it with not keeping my appointments and everything, and trying to get new ones. It's hard now, you know, with primary. You know that by some of your people that call in. So we won't go into that. But anyway, the thing is that now I have to wait to the beginning of the week, and they're not all the ones that I really want. but I have to take what I can get.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
my grandson,
right.
You know, he took the day off of work for me, and
oh,
now
God.
He's done that a couple times, and then something comes up so bad, and I felt bad for him because his wife and his daughter, you know, are in Cambodia because his second wife is from Cambodia.
Uh-huh.
So my granddaughter, she is on a study program. I told you she was born with cancer, you know, at 4 years old.
Yeah.
So they made, you know, her bladder from her intestine and the whole big thing, you know. But she's 18 now. So she's been traveling and on a study program. So she was in Portugal, and for the she came home for Christmas, and
uh-huh.
she went back now to Cambodia, and that's another study program. So she's staying with his wife's family there until the study program is over. So he misses them because he's alone now. He's a bachelor.
Sure.
He's not used to that. But anyway, I said, you know, Nicholas, I said, just make sure you take Grandma downtown. And he had it all set up. And that I felt bad, you know,
yeah.
that he missed his, he's in marketing, you know, he was a social worker.
Yeah.
And I got him through college at Purdue, and he was a social worker. And then he got, you know, into marketing. So he's doing well that way. But I goofed up a lot of people. Goofed up too.
Yeah, certainly not your fault. And stuff happens, you know. So
you're
right.
It's life. It's life.
Exactly.
I've been here long enough that you know you go up and down and down and up.
Exactly.
And yeah, but now you know what? Kimberly really likes that Coke. You know, she found it, so now she's drinking it.
The Mexican Coke.
She likes it.
Yeah.
Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah. She likes that too. So you helped us in many ways.
I don't know. I don't know. Turning somebody on to Mexican Coke may not be considered a help, depending. But yeah, if you get it just where it's just about to be freezing, that's the temperature, then man, I tell you what, I guzzle it. Yeah, just
that's,
love it.
That's what she said. It has to be real.
Yeah,
Coke.
It does.
And so you agree on that one much.
Oh yeah.
But I don't drink Coke. I don't think I ever did.
Well, right, but for some people it's an acquired taste, but this doesn't taste anything like
right.
the stuff they have in the cans.
What I'm on now in my 92 years is seltzer, seltzer, seltzer.
Well, if you know, I'll tell you something. If you can drink that, if you don't mind it, because it's a very bitter taste if it's not sweetened with anything. If you don't mind it, it's not bad for you.
No. Well, I put lime in it. I like
okay.
limes.
All right.
And I put the lime right in there, and I love it, and then a lot of ice, you know. I had a doctor. I buried all my doctors, but Dr. Sanfilippo, he was a great doctor. I loved him. And he always said, don't you be drinking your drinks cold. They're not good for you.
Oh, yeah, well.
And I went to Europe in 79 to take my dad back there to Croatia. And the big argument we had in the beautiful hotel on the sea over there, the Arctic Sea, was the hotel had no ice.
Oh.
And I ordered, then I could drink my wine. I liked wine back then. And so I got this wine and no ice.
Yeah.
So my husband goes down to the reception desk. And, of course, we didn't speak the language.
Right.
We want ice. And no ice. So I said I didn't have hardly a drink except at the relatives' homes to have their wine, their, you know, what they made. But it was so funny to go all the way to Europe.
Yeah.
And no ice in the hotels.
Well, that's the way it is. England is very bad that way.
They
just don't like ice. And the minute you really ask for it, they call you an American. And they don't say it in a kind way. But it's like,
my daughter laughing.
Right.
She spent time there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. I'm an American. Give me ice. And, you know, and then eventually, if you get someone, they bring you one cube.
Well, I didn't even get that.
Yeah, well, if you finally get someone to take pity on you, you get one whole cube. But yeah, it's like, you know, you're sitting there and you're in London or whatever, you're walking down the street and they'll be saying, they'll iced beer. Well, what it is, a block of ice with some beer cans on it. This is not iced beer.
Kimberly's laughing because she went through all that in England.
Then she knows.
She has
some exactly.
good friends there.
Yeah, well, I'm proud to be an American. Thank you very much. And that's it.
You're right. Yeah. Oh, yes, especially in Belgrade when we had a train layover. I'll tell you, I had to use the washroom real bad when we landed at the train station. And when I got there, there was all the Russians there.
Uh-huh.
You know, Tito. And so it was so bad that, you know, for my father and Kimberly, her husband, and my husband and I, we were on this train. And, oh, it was full of people. The coach, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, nighttime comes, all the lights go down, and people were moving. But we had no reason to move, right?
Right.
So everything was dark. Before you know it, there's no people. Well, everybody's sleeping, and I'm not sleeping, and I see all these people. They're all gone. I wake everybody up. I said, we're the only ones on this coach. Some were on here. And then they locked us in. Oh, that was terrible. I mean, really terrible. So we got to this train station, and by then, I had to use the facilities, okay? I go into the horrible washroom down there, and the old lady in there, I said, well, you know, I'm trying to tell her, toilet, where's the toilet? So they got these drains on the floor.
Yeah.
In the train station, these drains.
Yeah.
She pulls up her pants to tell me, and she squats to show me that how I have to go over the drain. I was so angry. I said, I'm going to hold it till I don't care where I get to. It was awful. So I get out of the train station, never wore a fur coat back in 79 when it's under Tito. I had a fur coat on, and everybody's chanting, Amerikansky, go home, go home, you know. And my father told me, you know, he said, don't say anything.
Right.
And I didn't. I just walked and walked.
Yeah.
And it was a terrible thing. You know how lucky we are here in America?
Yes, I do.
I have no idea.
By the way, that hole in the ground episode, that's very common in the Middle East. It's not the only time you're going to. Yeah. The first time you see it, it's like, what? Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You better believe it. I was just like shocked beyond shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever was in me just shocked away.
Yeah. No, I'm proud to be an American. I'm staying home. Thank you very much.
You're right. I never wanted to leave the country again.
Yeah.
And when I left there, when I didn't know the language, but one of the cousins, it was wonderful to see the relatives because my dad came here, you know, at 14 years old. And from Croatia, he was one of six boys, and all of them were getting killed, you know, in the revolutions. So he had taken my dad. He was one of the youngest, the two youngest, and he took him to Italy to come to America. And the only reason he got off of Ellis Island is because he had a sponsor. You had to have a job,
right?
And you had to have a sponsor. Fortunately, his one cousin was a priest at St. Jerome's Croatian Church on 18th and Troop in Chicago.
Yeah.
He sponsored him and got him to Wisconsin to be with two blind cousins there, and he worked in the coal mines at 14 years old. So then he made it all the way up to work with old Joe Kennedy in the tunnels, to Chicago.
Right.
And then he worked to become an electrician at the Standard Oil building. So that's how he retired.
Yeah.
And he lived a long life, too. He lived in his 90s. So, but it was a strange situation in Europe for me. And I, in the same way to get out, I couldn't get out. They held me over in Dubrovnik because I didn't know I was a dummy. And they held me in Dubrovnik all day like I was a prisoner. And they wouldn't leave me have the connecting flight that we had to Athens, Greece, and for our connecting flight home. So we were there all day, and I wrote postcards home, I'll never see America again.
Right.
And that's how it was so bad. So that night, from early morning, leaving, Croatia and to to Dubrovnik, at nighttime at 7 o'clock, a man comes in right out of a James Bond movie. He has a top coat on and a black suitcase, briefcase. He comes up to me, and he points to the plane. The plane, that's your plane. Get on.
Huh?
So, okay, I get to there and get to Athens. Well, then we have no connecting flights. We don't have our hotel. We don't know what to do. So we had to find somebody. And the next morning, we found this hotel in Athens, And guess who arrives in the morning? I didn't go down for breakfast with my dad and my husband. And guess who's down at breakfast? And who does he ask for? The madame. Where's the madame this morning? Huh? So here it comes out. I didn't know. I was the first born, you know, to first American. And they were keeping all the firstborns, Tito. And so I was not aware of that. I would have had to stay over there because a man right after me, he was held there, a man from Ohio.
Oh my
he
God.
Was there stranded for a couple years until Tito got out. It was awful. And I never wanted to travel overseas again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here I am, 92 years. I will, you know, I won't see it anyhow now. But the thing is, if in my afterlife, I don't want to go over there.
Yeah, I'm with you. Absolutely. I'll stay here. Thank you very much. Yes.
Yes, we both will.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Raleigh, lots of good luck to you. You know, you're the most wonderful person. I mean it, not just because you're on the radio. You just are a fine
person. You're an inspiration to me. You always sound so up and so happy and so alive. You know, it's just amazing. So keep it up.
Well, I was on Hartford Insurance, my homeowner's insurance, this afternoon, and you sound like the young girl I was talking to. I'm going along because we had a settle, and they're not taking my payments out. I do it all electronically because I don't go around, you know, for my banking, and it wasn't taken out. And I said, you know what, you're about the 10th person I talked to. I said, please take care of it and take care of my money.
Yeah, right.
My money. So I got that settled, and guess what she says? She says, I hope I sound like you when I'm 92. I says, well, you're only 60. I says, you're a baby.
Yeah.
You got a long way to go.
Yeah, you betcha. Well, always good to hear from you. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank
okay,
you.
Thanks.
Bless you all.
All right. Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. So, 8888 Raleigh. And we got Cleveland Dennis. We got Robert and LaGrange. Some requests coming up. And more on, well, not much more. There's only 5 minutes of showtime left. And we have to do this on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We'll forego the bumpers because we've got less than 30 seconds, but enough time to find out what Robert and LaGrange wants to hear for his request. And I'll play it tomorrow night. What is it, Robert? Well, we don't know because Robert hung up. Oh, well. So he'll call tomorrow. And apologies to Cleveland Dennis. Let's see. Are you still there? Yep. No. Okay, fine. So hopefully both of you will call tomorrow night. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. So please do it again 21 hours from now on WGN Radio.